the nations, his marvelous works among the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. This is the word of the Lord. Well, hello, my name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors here, and I play guitar. Sometimes. And today, we get to work towards solving a wonderful problem. A wonderful problem. And the problem is this, that God is great. God is great. For some people, that's a problem because they want all of life to be about themselves. They want all their interactions with friends and family, all that stuff, all social media to bring them praise as if they are the magnificent one in the universe. But problem for them, there is a great God, and all life is for him and from him. And for others, perhaps they want to live in any way they want to. They don't want a moral law, and so they have run into a problem again, because there is one God, and he dictates what is right and good, and it even comes from him. But for us, God's greatness is a problem as well, but in a more wonderful way. We just read this. We read, "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised." The problem can be stated like this: for a God so great, how can we possibly give praise in a way that is fitting for such a being? We at Cornerstone, we want to magnify this God. Well, how can we do that? How can we bring fitting praise to such a God as this? Those words, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised," appear four times in the scriptures. One of those in Psalm 96, another in Psalm 145, and let's see where they continue. So, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." As in, it's in the deep somewhere, and I can't find it. I'm looking for the end of God's greatness, and I'm looking through all this deep, but I'm coming up short, because his greatness is unsearchable. I cannot fathom it. Or to say it another way, our ability to praise is far outstripped by God's praiseworthiness. If an actor is great, they get what? They get an Oscar, right? And that's enough. They get their little trophy and they go home. If a baseball player is great, they get the Baseball Player Hall of Fame, and that is enough. But for God's greatness, what is the fitting response? What is the corresponding honor that God would get for his greatness? It's kind of like this. In England, England now has a king, King Charles III, and let's say he's coming to Baltimore, and so there's a lot of pomp and circumstance that needs to happen. There's songs that need to be played. People need to say words, and certain dignitaries need to be used to greet him and stuff. And so let's say that King Charles III is coming to Baltimore, and we leave all that to a bunch of first graders. All right, kids, what song do you want to play when the king gets out of the car? All right, kids, who's going to meet the guy, right? Okay, kids, what words are going to be said? Well, obviously, their efforts would fall short, and so it is with us. In these four walls, we seek to magnify, to honor our great God. We want to give great praise and glorify him in a way that is fitting, but how can we do that? What does this great praise, greatly to be praised, what does this great praise look like? And so that's what we're talking about today. Obviously, we will not come to the end of the matter. His greatness is unsearchable. But Psalm 96 gives us some help. You might want to have Psalm 96 in front of you. I'm going to jump around a lot. There are Bibles in front of you in the chairs, and there's magic Bibles in your phone if you want to do that. We're going to look at four descriptions of great praise offered in the Word of God. But let's begin with prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come before one who is magnificent, and we are unworthy. Thank you for Jesus Christ. By him we draw near, and by him we praise. And Father, we ask that you would bless this sermon and bless this church, that we might offer great praise, that we might bless your name. Father, all things for your glory. Please guide my words, and especially the hearts sitting in this room. I pray that you would give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, a first description of great praise is something we've already begun chipping away at. You can throw it up there, Broccoli Rob. Great praise is a response to God's greatness. All right, we've already mentioned that. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Implication, as great as the Lord is, so great should be the praise. And that's our problem, right? In Psalm 150, verse 2, it says, praise him according to his excellent greatness. According to his excellent greatness, there should be some link, some correspondence, some connection, some shared proportion between the greatness of the praise and the greatness of the being. You get that. And so let's see some of that being as we continue in Psalm 96. Verse 4 again. You're going to have this memorized if you don't have it already. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Continuing on, he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. He made the heavens. That's something he has done. That shows who he is, what he's capable of, and why he deserves great praise. Let's do a quick exercise. We've got these four walls in here. You can imagine the space required. You don't have to imagine it. You're looking at it. All right, now expand that out in your brains. Go to Harford County. It takes a long time to walk across Harford County. It's a big county. Spread that out again. We're in Maryland, looking at Maryland, 250 miles across. Make that now the United States. I've driven across the United States. It took forever. If you can get it done in 4 days, if you're driving like 12 hours a day or something, but no one does that. So America, now the world, of course, and you will not ever go to all the places in the world. It is too vast. It is too huge. There are continents you'll never make it to. Now, did you know that the sun is so large that you could fit 1.3 million planet Earths inside of it? How immense must its creator be? What kind of being can do that? And the sun isn't even the biggest star out there. The biggest star is 1,700 times larger than the sun. God made it, and God makes it shine. He takes the intense gravitational force of that star, and now all the nuclei of the hydrogen are getting fused together, creating helium and a ton of heat and light that can be seen who knows how many light years away. God made it. God made it shine. There are approximately 200 billion trillion stars in the universe, 100 billion in our own Milky Way. What can do that? What can do that? What being can do that? And how great should the corresponding praise be? Moving on, verse 6 says, splendor and majesty are before him. So the psalmist now gets abstract, okay? He paints splendor and majesty as attendants before the king. So you got the king on the throne, attending him are splendor and majesty. And so you ask, where is majesty located? And the heavens say, it is before the king. Majesty is before him. Hey, where can I find splendor? Splendor itself is before the king, crying, look at this great God. What about strength and beauty? They're in his sanctuary. They live with him. Strength lives with the one who is most powerful. Beauty with the one who is most beautiful. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. This is the God that we are attempting to praise on a Sunday morning. What other works can we praise him for? Verse 2, tell of his salvation from day to day. I always think about when Israel was surrounded by Assyrians, Sennacherib's trying to
put another notch in his belt, and God just wipes out 185,000 Assyrian soldiers overnight. That's a salvation. But what about you? Has God's glory been manifested in a salvation for you? How much greatness is displayed on the cross? How much love is displayed? God's grace, God's compassion, God's power, God's righteousness, God's wisdom on the cross. Great praise is a response to God's greatness. It is praise in accord with his greatness. What a wonderful problem we have. And just the thing, I've got all these things I want to say in the sermon, but what I want you to come away with is those and just the fact that this God is nuts. He's wonderful. He is so glorious. All right, so number two, and let me confess here. So instead of listing points, I'm just going to mush them. All right? So I just put corn on your plate. Now I'm going to mush in some peas, and we're going to just keep mushing until we're done, okay? Very professional. So now, great praise is, next point, Rob. Great praise is singing in response to God's greatness. Okay, now we're getting a little bit more boots on the ground. Great praise is singing in response to God's greatness. As we dig around the verses that talk about greatly to be praised, we find singing. And we saw this also in verse 1 and 2. Let's read that. Actually, I'm going to read that. The let's read that is earlier. All right. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Three times in these two verses, we are commanded to sing. And then Psalm 47 says, no, come look at me. Okay, Psalm 47, verse 6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. In one verse, four times, we are commanded to sing. What I want you to understand is that singing is one of the primary tasks of the people of God. All right, we as Christians, we do stuff. We read the word. We do that. We pray. That's what a normal, regular thing for a Christian. We have fellowship. You're here. You did it, right? And we also sing. If we are obeying the word of God, we sing. There are 400 references to singing in the Bible. 50 of them are commands. If Pastor Stan gets up here to do communion, and in that communion meditation, he commands you to do the same thing 50 times, you'd get the feeling that it's significant. All right? If your spouse lovingly, gently mentions the same thing to you 50 times, all right, you'd get the feeling that it's important. Well, God has commanded us to sing 50 times in his word. Isn't it possible that it is important? Joel Beakey is one of the best Christian minds alive today. We're trying to get him on the Grounded podcast. He said that he would. We'll see. And in his book on family worship, Joel Beakey instructs Christian families to sing every single day. He quotes Psalm 118:15, which says, glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The tents, that's where they lived, right? So we live in houses now. But if there's a sound coming from your house, it would be the sound of praise. Joel says, the sound of rejoicing and salvation should arise from family homes on a daily basis. We can see this daily part in verse 2, tell of his salvation from day to day, or in Psalm 145, which we've referenced, every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Every day. I lead my children in a Bible study reading and discussion every morning. I love doing that. And since studying for this sermon, we've added singing. We sing nothing but the blood after the discussion. And now, I say all this, I would love it if all y'all are like, okay, we're going to sing every day as a family. I would love that. That'd be great. What I am trying to impress upon you is that singing is a main thing. Singing is a big deal to God, to the scriptures, to the Christian life. Singing. Great praise is singing in response to God, to the greatness of God. Now, we're talking about praise, and so perhaps you guessed that singing would be the thing, right? But there are other options. God could have said, it could say, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and so bow before him every day. We could, or every week, we could come before God and just bow, right? We could We could write wonderful poetry for him. Really, that'd be glorifying. A lot of the word is just written poems. That could be great praise. Or it could be a chorus of trumpets, right? On the way into Cornerstone, we just hand you a trumpet. We have a lot of trumpets, and you're all like, right? And that would be kind of royal. That could have been great praise. But instead of these, it's singing. And so I want to attempt to just give you three reasons why singing might be the thing and not these other things. So three reasons. Here you go. You can put them up there, Rob. All right, singing. First, singing meditates on the truth. When we come to sing, we have words up there. And guess what? They are true words. They're biblical words. They're about God. They're about the gospel. And so, and we sing them. We bring them on into our mind. Now, the word meditate in Hebrew, haggah, what that means is to vocalize. All right, so it could be translated to utter, to mutter. It could be translated to roar, depending on the context. Hebrew is nuts. But like, it's to vocalize. And so the idea, more than just thinking as meditation, the Hebrew idea is I'm vocalizing it to myself. All right, and thus I am meditating on it. So that is meditation, and that is exactly what we do when we sing. We get to see the thing, it goes into our mind, and we get to think about it, and then we get to say it, we get to sing it, we get to hear it again, and we get to hear everyone else singing it, and thus we meditate on the word of God. We are taking truths and considering them by vocalizing them. Isn't this why? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly is paired with singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Great praise is singing because singing is meditation on the glorious truths of God in a way that bowing is not, in a way that trumpet playing is not. Or to put it another way, great praise is singing because singing is musing upon God's greatness. That's what it is. Right, it's beautiful. It's awesome. Next, singing engages the entire person. So we've already said we've got the words on the screen. They go into your mind. Then they come back out your mouth, all right? So we've got your mind, we've got your body working. And when you hear them again, what happens? Well, we are people who have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, whose souls are alive. And so, unless we're going through a dark time or something, our hearts are stirred by the truth, are they not? That's what singing is designed to do. Jesus had harsh words for people whose lips honor him, but whose hearts were far from him. And so our hearts are engaged. And I don't know about the mechanics of the soul, but if the soul does anything, it probably worships the Lord, right? If we have a regenerate soul, if God's word has been written on our hearts and inside of us. And so singing engages the entire person, mind, body, soul, heart. It is the act of giving ourselves to glorifying the Lord. It is an act, at least, of giving ourselves to glorifying God, giving our whole person. You want to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Here's something you can do and engage your mind, engage your heart, engage your soul, engage your strength. It engages the entire person. And lastly, on why singing unites God's people. So if you are in the army, you have a uniform. See, people on the outside can look and say, okay, that person's in the army, that person's in the army. Or let's say you're marching. These days, most of the wars are out in the desert somewhere. But let's say you're marching. People on the outside can say they are unified. They're all a part of the same thing. Well, we don't have a uniform, but we sing together. We come and worship the same God. We sing the same words. We sing the same melody and harmonizations of it. It is an outward way to say that we are one people worshiping the one great God, the one Savior, Jesus Christ. Singing unites us, again, in a way that bowing doesn't. All right, you can bow by yourself. Sing. So guess what the application for this section is going to be? Any takers? Go ahead and throw it up, Rob. Sing. Sing, application, sing. When we come together, sing. That's what we're here to do. We are here to come and join our voices together, to come in unity. For many years, so I'm a worship leader, I'm doing the worship thing, but when I'm not, I'm sitting in the congregation, for many years, what I would do is I would just stop and spend the worship set praying personally. And praying personally is awesome. But that's not why we're here. Bad Jason. Jason should have been putting his voice up in the air in praise to God. That's what we're doing here. All right? And so if you want to come and pray and get your heart right with God, that's great. But we are here to sing. We are here not just for a personal encounter with God, but for a group encounter with God. We want to, as a group, rejoice in the truths of God. We are his people that have come forward to gather together, look upon him, and sing his praise. And so application, sing, sing, sing. Great praise is singing in response to God's greatness. All right, our third description of God's great praise is this. Go ahead and throw it up there, Rob. Great praise is loud singing in response to God's greatness. Great praise is loud singing in response to God's greatness. You might have some objections to that. Just go ahead and hold them for a couple minutes. A few minutes ago, I mentioned that there were other options for great praise, right, than singing. There could have been bowing. There could have been writing poetry. Well, one of the problems with those more tame methods of praise is that they are simply not loud enough. In view of God's greatness, what volume is appropriate? Yeah, loud. In view of Jesus Christ, what volume is appropriate? What volume corresponds to God's unsearchable greatness? Or let me put it another way. To what do you give the full ability of your vocal cords? What gets your full vocal cord ability? All right, we poke at the Ravens a lot. Praise God for the Ravens. May they do well. I don't know. Is football over? I guess football's over. I play guitar, man. I don't know. So does the Ravens get your full vocal ability? Or maybe disciplining your children? Or on TV, when they say something that you disagree with, does that get your full vocal ability? Brothers and sisters, if anything deserves the full ability of your vocal cords, it is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It is your great Savior. And I don't say this simply as an opinion. I believe I'm on stable scriptural grounds for it. Let me show you some passages. Psalm 71. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. I love that because the shout for joy and the sing praises are happening at the same time. When we sing praises, we're shouting for joy. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. Oh, come, Psalm 95:1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 98, make a joyful noise to the Lord. All the earth break forth into joyous song and sing praise. I don't have this one up there, but Psalm 33:3, sing to him a new song, play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. Psalm 66, shout for joy to God, all the earth, sing the glory of his name. I love that. Sing the glory of his name and give to him glorious praise. So Cornerstone Community Church, should our praise be quiet or loud? Which better reflects God's greatness? Loud. And jumping around a bit in the Psalms, in this Psalm, Psalm 96, look down at verse 11. Let the heavens, as in the sky, be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. I love this verse because I live right next to a field. And so I look out at that field, and I'm like, oh, my companions in praise, right? But this isn't Chronicles of Narnia, okay? This is hyperbole. But there is a volume thing in here, right? I don't know how loud a field is when it exults. I don't know. But I do know how loud the sea is when it roars. And so what example do we get in terms of volume? We get the roaring sea. Are you getting the idea that God is amazing, so beyond our ability to praise? And note again, the volume implied. He deserves loud praise. All right, now for those objections. Pastor Jason, not every psalm in the Bible is about joy. There are sad psalms. Shouldn't we be quiet, aren't there times when our singing should be quiet? Well, here's my answer. And I think we're above opinion here. The instrumentation for a song should fit the theme of the song. All right, when we sing, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" as we sing every Good Friday, as we sing that, there should not be clashing cymbals. I will throw my capo through that drum shield and knock him out. All right? There shouldn't be clashing cymbals. Many themes demand contemplative, soft music. Not every song is Psalm 150 with the loud clashing cymbals. But does that mean our singing should be quiet? Do you know a verse that says, "Sing quietly unto the Lord"? So here's what's up. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Yes, quiet music. But we should sing that with passion, right? Amen. We're singing about our Lord Jesus Christ. The singing should still have passion, have zeal, and thus have volume. Even the somber themes. So singing should be loud. Singing should be the thing that gets your maximum vocal ability. Again, our point is great praise is loud singing in response to God's greatness. What do you think application is going to be, Cornerstone? Sing loud. Sing loud. Y'all, sing loud. Oh, that we would be the church that you can't hear the keys. You can't hear the bass. You can't hear the guitar because the singing is loud. You know that what Gabrielle's doing or Patrick's doing, they're just helping you to sing, right? Sean is keeping time. Doom, ka, doom, ka. He's keeping time so that we sing together. All this stuff up here is to help you sing. The thing is your singing. The people of God coming before God with worship. That's what we're into. That's what we want our praise to be. That is what great praise is. And so, oh man, I want to be the church with such loud singing. I love it when people comment and say, "Oh, they really sing at Cornerstone." I'm just like, yes, they do. Oh, that it might be more so. I don't get extra points if you sing loud, by the way. There isn't a group of worship leaders that gets together and with the decibel meters and say, "My people were at 92 this week." No, that doesn't happen. But the reason I want this is for praise, for God's greatness to be gloried in. Praise. All right. Last point already. Sad days. Great praise is the loud singing of many in response to God's greatness. It is the loud singing of many. Yeah. This theme also begins in verse 1. We read, "O sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth." This singing in response to God's greatness is not the singing of one person. It is not the singing of 120 people per service. This singing is like truly great praise is singing of people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. It is the singing, the praise of a multitude. And perhaps your mind goes to Revelation 7. It says this, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a," what word is that? "Loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." The great praise is the singing of many, which makes sense, right? Because what corresponds with God's greatness? Well, great volume corresponds with God's greatness. So does great numbers. An artist is celebrated at the Grammys, all right? They get a Grammy and four people clap. They would be embarrassed, right? That wouldn't honor them. But if everyone in the room clapped, that would honor him. So with us, more singers means greater praise. Our psalm continues in verse 3, "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples." Why? Why declare his glory among the nations? Why is marvelous works among the peoples? Why do we send to missionaries? So that God's greatness will be declared to more and more, and as a result of their efforts, God's glory will be sung by more and more people. Right now, 6 billion people are singing to the wrong God. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Right now, billions are singing to Vishnu, to Buddha, to Allah, to false gods, worthless idols that cannot help them and cannot save them. They worship figments of their own imagination, demons, or themselves. Not the God who actually made the heavens. Friends, imagine with me. Imagine 8 billion people singing to God. Yeah, boy, 8 billion. Doesn't our God deserve that? Doesn't our great God, doesn't Jesus Christ deserve that? Now, that's what humanity was made for. Oh, to be in Shanghai when 8 billion people sing praise to God. To be in New York. I wonder if you're wandering around in a field in Montana if you'd hear the singing. Well, because of our fallen world, that is not happening. But may it happen more. May missionaries go forward so that more singers could join us. And now, that whole thing, wanting more people to sing, that's implied in verse, or was that 3, 4? It's said explicitly in verse 7. Look at verse 7. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. So let all the peoples, all 8 billion peoples, ascribe glory to God. That's what he's saying, right? All the peoples, families of the peoples, ascribe glory to God. All right, tell God how amazing he is. Glory, oh, that's his. Strength, that's God's. May they all come before him in holiness and in fear and worship him. I love how Psalm 67 says it. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And so I'm glad that we occasionally support the Light Shine Ministry to the Tarahumara people in Mexico, an unreached people group that needs to hear the gospel. We support their church planting occasionally. I'm glad. I'm glad that we support a missionary in the Middle East. I'm glad that we have supported church planting in Germany and in Africa and in Italy. I'm glad that we encourage you to support people through the Compassion International program and other ministries. We want more people to hear the gospel. We want more people to be saved, and we want more people to forever sing to the Lord. I'd be even more glad if somehow our budget tripled and we were able to finance fully some missionaries, some full-time, just our own people missionaries we can hold accountable. So some of you need to make way more money for the glory of God, please, and we'll do that. Application. So what does this have to do with us at Cornerstone? All right. So we went here partly because the text went here, but why? Is there an application here? The answer is simple. If great praise is praise from every nation, here at Cornerstone in our smaller context, great praise is praise from every person. All right. God deserves praise from everybody. For this room to be full of singing from every voice in here. I'm not trying to do a guilt thing. Guilt is an okay motivator, but I want the carrot. God is so wonderful. Sing his praise. So once upon a time, here's the opposite to that, hopefully to put an exclamation point on the point. In year 363, this is only 300 years after Jesus, you know, died and was raised, right? There was a council, it was a regional council in Laodicea. The church has councils. There's like seven of them that we reform types like, and then there's other ones like Trent, which are crazy pants. But in this is a local council, a smaller one, and they said this. Go ahead and throw it up there, Rob. They said, "No others shall sing in the church, save only the canonical singers who go up into the ambo and sing from a book." Okay. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. Every person, all the families of the peoples, all the redeemed must sing. It only took 300 years for them to get off track. This is why I'm a Baptist. Let's be Bible people and what the Bible says, and let's stick with that. All right? Because this is dead wrong. Psalm 67 says, "Let the peoples praise you. Let all the peoples praise you. All of us should sing." And here's where I want to go. Even the people who aren't good at it. Even people who are afraid to sing because they've been told they do not have a good voice. You say, okay, I'm just going to leave the singing to Terry and to that nice-sounding lady a couple chairs down, right? No. All of us should sing. And so I'm the worship leader. Put my worship leader hat on. I want to say three things about this. So to you, or not to you yet. Okay. If someone becomes a Christian, go with me here. If someone becomes a Christian and they can't read, what are we going to do? We're going to teach them to read, right? We want the word of God in them, and so we're going to teach them to read. And this is, by the way, from Scott Annual. This is not my point. And so if someone is a Christian and they don't know how to sing, what are we going to do? Teach them to sing, right? That's been commanded 50 times. We have to teach them to sing. So right now we have YouTube, which is great. But also we have a worship night this Friday, and part of what we're doing in that worship night is doing a little bit of basic singing teaching. All right, so for those of you who are afraid to sing, learn to sing, for real. Learn to sing. Number two, to those of you who are more confident about your voice, please bless your more insecure brothers and sisters by singing loud. How will that bless them, Jason? Won't that just be showing off? Yes, if you're just doing vocal runs the whole time, that would be showing off. But that's not what you do. All right. If this entire room is loud with singing, they will feel more comfortable to sing because they won't stand out. So sing loud so that your brothers and sisters can join the great praise. And then back to you, insecure singers. God knows what kind of voice he gave you, and he has commanded you to sing. Cool. Conclusion. Here's the mush. Here's the summary. Go ahead and throw it up there. Great praise is the loud singing of many in response to the greatness of God. And our application can be summarized in this way: sing, sing loud, and sing all. I hope you know how awesome he is. Or have seen a glimpse of it. He is amazing. We've talked about the stars. We've talked about salvation. There are a million other things that we could list. This God is amazing. He is worthy of us coming and bowing before him and singing to him, living for him, loving him supremely. He's not just some selfish person who wants us to praise him. No, he's worthy of praise. And it is right and good to praise him. Amen. Now I want to end this sermon by introducing a song. It is not one of ours. It is by Sovereign Grace, and it is called, guess what? Sing. And so let me read the words to you. Did you draw a breath as the dawn awoke? And does your heart still beat? Is the mighty word of the living God upholding you? Then sing, oh sing. Has the Father's love filled your longing heart with grace for every need? Come and lay your burdens at Jesus' feet and find new strength to sing. Oh, sing. Here's the chorus. Morning and evening, everything breathing must sing. I love must sing. Oh, sing. All of creation, rise up and praise the King of Kings and sing. Verse 3. Has the Son of God died to take away your sin and set you free? Has the conqueror trampled over death? Is Christ enthroned? Then sing, oh sing. Morning and evening again, everything breathing must sing, oh sing. All of creation, rise up and praise the King of Kings and sing. After Brian gives us the announcements later, we're going to sing that song. And then we're going to sing another one, right? Typically, we just sing one at the end, but I don't want to end on a new song. I want you to have a chance to apply the sermon. And so we're going to sing How Great Thou Art afterwards. And brothers and sisters, let's give great praise. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. It is through the singing, the loud singing of many, the loud singing of his people that he is praised. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are wonderful. Just the fact that you allow us and tell us to call you Father, the creator of the world, the creator of the heavens. God, it is amazing to be in relationship with you, to draw near to you. Thank you for your grace, because apart from Jesus Christ, all our efforts would just be worthless. They already fall short, Lord. But God, we thank you for Jesus Christ. May we bless your name, Father. Would you be with us as a church? May we simply please you, God, and sing nice and loud, because we hope that that glorifies you. So bless the rest of the service, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have pastors here at Cornerstone, and pastors like meeting with sheep.